You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Vieira, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Sita Biggie on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends on AM 1510, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. We are live in our studio in sunny Cocoa, Florida. My fabulous co-host Ellen Little is here. Busy as a bee, typing away as usual.
I know.
Always doing stuff for a show.
Up. Yeah.
She's always doing show something for Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Amen.
Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome.
And you're back from your trip?
I did. I had a wonderful weekend in Boston. By the way, it is not warm everywhere. Just a PSA, just a public service announcement. It was 40 degrees in Boston.
And we have a really great show planned today. Friends of our show, Hospice of St. Francis. The longest running hospice right here in Brevard, right? And Dottie Allen is here. And Ellen, you know what? Every time Dottie comes on, she looks younger and younger. We would need to know her secret.
Exactly right.
Is the chief philanthropic officer with Hospice of St. Francis. And she also runs the Hospice of St. Francis Foundation. So welcome to our show.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here as always.
Yes. And we also have Christy Rowland, just like Rowland College. She's here today, and she is the bereavement coordinator for Hospice of St. Francis. So welcome as well to the show.
Thank you for having me back.
I'm so grateful that you all took the time to show up and be here to join Ellen and I for another fabulous show to give information to our community. Every Monday, Ellen and I get together, and we have people that come on the show in a very unscripted manner to give out valuable information about maybe a book, a business, whatever it is. People come on and we're able to share information with the public online. Ellen also puts our shows on the web, and it's wonderful.
Yes, and on Facebook as well. And then they're also on the radio website under 1510 WWBC.
That's
right.
But
we want everyone to go to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, of course, SitaMediaInc.com.
Right. And Ellen, maybe you ought to, we've had a lot of people that wanted to know about the stats for the show, so maybe now is a good time to do that as well.
Sure. We get about 1,400 hits a week on the website, and we were getting quite a few, about 1,800 to 2,000 downloads on iTunes, but unfortunately the iTunes piece has been broken for a couple of weeks, and still working on trying to get that up and running. But we have about 60-40 on demographics, 60% female and 40% men, and usually about right over 1,000 live listeners. But we get much more on our podcast. We get much more hits on our podcast. Of course, we've got great advertisers that advertise our sponsors, that sponsor with us, and they are also getting hits on their portion of the website as well. So it's exciting to see how much of the reach is happening because people are listening to the shows, and hopefully they're getting the education off of these unscripted, fun, entertaining shows.
And it is
that
fun. It's almost like an extension of our living room when
and
we come here.
And keep in mind, we've been on air for 8 years, so figure 52 weeks. We haven't missed one show, maybe a holiday here or there that when the radio station was closed. But for the most part, 52 shows a year and usually two segments. So that's an incredible amount of people that we've had. And, of course, Hospice of St. Francis has been such a great sponsor and a great friend of the show. I believe they've had 5 or 6 shows. But it's always great information. So congratulations and kudos to you.
Well, thank you. It is a lot of dedication. And, one of the things that I like to do, everybody knows that, Dr. McGee goes to bed early, and I'm left in this house. And so I get on my Facebook, and I find friends and guests and I get
so if
tons
she's emailing you at 11 o'clock at night,
yes.
That's why.
And so one such person, I was on Facebook a couple nights ago, and I saw that Angie York, is it Duffel? Was
Duffy.
On. Duffy?
Yeah.
And you were on, and you're here. She just walked in for our listeners who are tuning in. Angie just walked in, and she'd written up a post about, you know, the challenges of opening a business and being a stay-at-home mom and trying to run a business and take care of your family and your it hit me right in my heart that here's such a wonderful person that just put it all there out there how she felt. She is a first lady at the Living Water Church. And she's also a mom and a business owner. And I said, I'd like to help. And so Angie just showed up. So thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. And so tell our listeners quickly, a couple, if you can, a little bit about yourself really quick.
So I am a stay-at-home mom. I've been a pastor's wife for 19 years. And we just recently, about 5 years ago, moved to Florida. 3 years ago to the Rockledge area. So a little background of the post that Seat saw was that I was upset about my son. He is in bowling. He's really good. He's autistic. And he bowls like, you know, he has like a 120 average in bowling. But it's his first year, so he's in ninth grade this year. And it felt like to him that his classmates weren't accepting him. So for me to be a stay-at-home mom and run a small business, it means the world to me that I can do that with the support and help my kids out in every, you know, every way of the avenue. So when he started crying, I was right there with him. And I just want to give him the support that he needs.
Yeah, and you know, from like a mom to a mom, when someone puts something like that on Facebook or any social media, or even if you have a friend and you could communicate and find this out, it's heartbreaking because we're watching, we were just reading about something that I read on the this morning on the news about a 16-year-old child who took his own life after his classmates shared his intimate messages on social media. So, you know what, thank you for standing up for your son and for other people as well by, you know, doing what you do for him, because people are not taking the time to listen and understand that there are some amongst ourselves in the schools where we work and our communities that actually do need assistance, and emotionally it's not happening. So I'm glad you're here so you could join in our conversation as well. So for our listeners who are tuning in, Brevard's longest serving hospice here is Hospice of St. Francis. It's a non-profit as well, founded in 1977, and they do continue to meet the community what we call the need for community standards here in understanding and compassion for people. So I'm going to open up our show with Dottie and let Dottie tell us a little bit about what she does at Hospice of St. Francis.
Oh, I love to tell the story.
Yes.
I am the chief philanthropy officer, so I actually work for Hospice of St. Francis Foundation. A lot of people think that we do fundraising and that we're out in the community asking people for money. I say in all the 30 years I've been doing this type of work, I have never asked anybody for money. What I do is I tell them the story about the work that we do, and if it resonates with them in their hearts and in their souls, then I offer them a chance to become part of our family of supporters. So it's a different way of looking at it, but it really works, because what we want to do is have relationships with as many people as possible so that if they have a need in at any time in their lives, that they can say, yes, I know where I need to go. I need to go to Hospice of St. Francis.
Right. And, you know, it always comes down to the information and an education and making people aware of what community services are available for us from the ages of 0 to whatever, 100 and something. And you know, Ellen, I told you before, I always run into people that live to be over 100. Yes. And there's a couple of things that they all have in common. Faith, oatmeal.
That's right.
Always faith
and
oatmeal. Friends, family, and the ability to forgive.
That's right.
And people do live to be over 100, all these things.
That's right.
But then after that, you do need comfort and care when the good Lord calls you home. I mean, that's two things. We know that's going to happen at some point in our life. So we have to make the preparations for it. And so when Hospice of St. Francis comes on, it's always nice for listeners to tune in listen and share the information. And so Angie, you have a hell of a job too with Hospice of Francis. I mean, your job, it's Christy. Where's Angie? Angie usually is here, right? Christy.
We're somewhat interchangeable.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know what? I've been sending messages to Julie, to Angie, to Christy, to everyone. So it's impossible to keep up sometimes with all the people that I have to send messages to. So Christy Rowland, your job, it's rewarding, but it's also, at some time, it can be very challenging as well.
Absolutely.
Tell our listening audience on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, what is it you do with Hospice of St. Francis?
Thank you, Sita. Actually, my title is Lead Bereavement Coordinator. So I have had the absolute honor of being with Hospice of St. Francis now for the last 4 years. And as a bereavement coordinator, we follow our families for the next year as long as they need to provide them support, help them learn how to go on and basically just who they are now without this person that meant the world to them. And sometimes that's a really hard transition. So we offer all sorts of different, we have individual meetings we can do, we do phone calls, mailings, support groups, luncheons, and one of the other really nice things with my position is that we offer free grief counseling to anyone in Brevard County, which most people don't realize. So regardless of the reason the person had their death occur, we can offer grief support to their families. And I'm very excited because we are now coming into the season of our Lights of Love service, which is our community memorial service, where we light trees in honor of everyone who passed away.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things that I love about Hospice of St. Francis is that they do use a team approach to provide patients and their loved ones with physical, emotional, and spiritual care as they face the ultimate challenges in life. So maybe this is a good time for Dottie to jump in here as well. What is the foundation doing in respect to reaching out in the community and trying to show people exactly what they should be doing to prepare themselves when something like this happens?
Well, I can tell you about an upcoming event that's focused on honoring people in the community that really are extraordinary in the way that they give back to help others. But I think that I'm going to hold off on that just for a second, and I want to talk about more specifically to your question.
Yeah.
Many people have their own perspective on what hospice is. A lot of people think that it is just something that happens at the end of life, the very end of life. We know that hospice is something that starts much earlier than that. When a person first starts to have the difficulties of symptoms and side effects of a chronic disease, it may not be traditional hospice service, but we provide palliative care through a program that we have called St. Francis Pathways to Healthcare. And it helps people, gives them advice as to how to deal with those symptoms and problems. And then eventually, if their condition gets to the point where they really need to have that full interdisciplinary team that you just described, Sita.
Yes.
Then perhaps their doctor may say, hospice services are appropriate for you now. And then the whole team comes in, and the team deals with the person and the person's family as a whole. Because we're not just a physical body. We have so much more going for us that really needs to be addressed at this time. And the goal, the ultimate objective, is to make sure that people have the very best life that they can possibly have with the greatest level of satisfaction and peace and enjoyment for as long as they can have it. Well, we all know that we're all going to die. There's not a single person who's going to make it out of this life alive.
True talk.
But given that, wouldn't you like to think that for every minute that you had, that it could be the very best that you can have? And that's what we do.
Right. And so, and you have a lot of events that are coming up that I think while our listeners are tuning into Viewpoint with Sita and Friends today, maybe they could start looking at their calendars. So it's kind of early in the show, but maybe you could give out some of the dates and I see Ellen fiddling with that invitation day. It's pretty interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I was moving it over to Dottie. So
yeah. Because I think while we're on air, people can go and Google the website. It's so easy to find Hospice of St. Francis Brevard and look at all the events and things. So tell us a little bit about one of the, is it your major event or one-off?
We have two signature events a year. In the spring, we have a women's luncheon called the Purple Iris. It's a lot of fun. We have a outside speaker, a motivational humorist. But we have a big one coming up on October 30th. So I want you to get your calendars out and see if October 30th is available. I don't think that's trick-or-treat night, so you should be okay. It's a Wednesday. This is our third annual Legends Award. It's called Legends, the Hospice of St. Francis Generosity Awards. And we honor particular people in the community who have done a lot to uplift many organizations and to make philanthropy more of a community cultural value. I mean, it's that sense of giving back. So we're honoring Lisa McAlpin, who's from Titusville. Anybody from Titusville knows that Lisa is probably the consummate volunteer. Travis Proctor, who's the CEO of Artemis. It's an IT company here in town, and he's an entrepreneur, and he's been involved in many, many organizations, helping them and lifting them up. Emily Sasko, who is our founder. She's deceased now, but we wanted to reach back with her family and honor her for what she did to start our organization. And then Mike and Rashmi Shah, they're the founders of Southeast Petro, and the list of organizations that they've helped is very, very long and impressive. So each one of these people will be honored for what they've done in the community. We'll have a fabulous dinner, and it's going to be at Space Coast Convention Center, which is a part of the Holiday Inn in Cocoa, just off
the highway. And it's so easy to find that place, too.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes you attend a function, and it's so difficult to find parking. One nice thing about the Space Coast Convention Center is the parking adequate.
The parking is
and
great.
Well lit. So, and Ellen, you have the meal plan there, the choices. But because I was so interested in that, because, you know, I'm going to Trinidad on the and I'm coming back on the 29th at 12 midnight.
Right.
I won't get to my house probably at 2 in the morning, but I am attending this event on the 30th.
And
by hook or by crook, I'm going to be there.
And we heard the great story of how the menu was selected. So that was awesome.
Oh, yes, we had a tasting.
They had a tasting. Yes. So the entree choices are going to be chicken pomodoro, baked salmon with lemon sauce, or portobello mushroom pomodoro, which sounds awesome. And me and Dr. Big E would be that would be our choice, the
yes.
Portobello.
Yeah. And it's good when you recognize people in the community that are doing so much. And those four people that you just mentioned, kudos to them.
Yes.
And such respect. They live such dignified lives, and what they do for others is just, you know, it's so valuable for this community to have people that set such blazing the trails for all of us and motivate so many of us that it doesn't matter what scale, small or large, but you're doing something, right? And so Hospice of St. Francis, are you all currently looking for staff and volunteers right now? Anybody could take that question.
Well, we're always looking for volunteers. We definitely are always looking for volunteers. Volunteers come in a number of different flavors. One might be people who really like to work in the office. But then there are a lot of people who would really like to work with patients and actually be at the bedside. We have special training for people that want to do that. But we've got a wide array of things that volunteers can do. And I would welcome anybody.
And they can just go on the website and check that out.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and in terms of staff, we always have some open positions. Some of them are clinical and some are not. So if you're in the job market and you want to work for a really great organization, then check us out from time to time.
So, Christy, one of the questions that someone sent for me this morning was to see if you could talk a little bit with our audience about palliative care.
Mm-hmm.
People hear that word all the time, but they don't know what it actually means. Can you tell our audience a little bit about palliative care?
Well, our palliative care program allows people to still see their doctor, still seek whatever treatments they are trying to find, and we can help coordinate all of those services. And then we have physician staff that will go in and see those patients and help make sure their questions are answered and all of their appointments are met, and help make that transition, if they are coming into hospice, a little bit easier.
Yeah, and what bereavement services does Hospice of Francis offer? What are some of the things that you all offer?
Well, we do all sorts of things.
Anything, because, you know, the show is so unscripted. It's almost as though we're sitting in somebody's living room and having coffee, or maybe in a restaurant. That's even better. So whatever on the top of your head that the listeners could listen to and identify with, some of the services you offer.
Probably the one that most people really benefit from is either our individual sessions or our group meetings. And oftentimes when you've had a loss and it's fairly new, you don't want to sit in front of a lot of people, and you don't want to just be able to sit and tell your story. And that is so important and so crucial that people can tell their stories, because so often, you know, they can't talk to their children because their children are also grieving the same loss and they feel like they're running out of support.
Yeah.
So they come to us, and we get to listen to those stories, and it's absolutely amazing when we get to do that.
And I see Angie sitting there. Wouldn't you agree that communication is the key to almost everything?
Most definitely. Especially, like I said, with my son. If I'm not there communicating with him, then he...
There's nobody else.
There's no one else that can do it.
And that's a good thing about Hospice of St. Francis. When you do this and people are able to voice... what's going on in their lives, and they understand it's not only them. Mm-hmm. Because, and then everybody handles grief differently as well.
Absolutely.
Grief, it's cultural, it's how you were raised, it's your religion. I mean, and some people cry, some don't. I mean, I know at our funerals, people cry. Mm-hmm. And because that's how you're raised. You get it out, and then it's done, you know. But in some cultures, people keep it in. It's all bottled up, mm-hmm. right?
And oftentimes it is, and we help normalize what it is you're going through, because depending on how you were raised, depending on who the person was you lost, all of these other factors make your experience unique. And
right.
We treat each of those stories as the unique story that is.
Right, and children. I would think when someone loses a child, that is a totally different type of
Absolutely.
Grief that the parents are going through as well. Because mm-hmm. we're all conditioned that parents... don't bury their children. You know, just children bury their parents. And I see Dottie shaking her head about that. Isn't that the truth? That,
it
you know.
Is, it is definitely the truth. I think one of the things that we're finding, too, is most people think about hospice as a service for very old people at the end of their lives.
Yes.
And I sometimes tell a story. It's actually a fictitious story. But I do it for a purpose. I say, imagine a 42-year-old man who's just been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. His wife, the love of his life, stayed home with the kids. You know, they both graduated from college, and then she stayed home when they had their kids. So now they have three kids, a 14-year-old, an 8-year-old, and a 5-year-old. He's now dying of pancreatic cancer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She has to figure out how to get a job, but she's never worked, even though she's got a college degree. She's got three kids. The 14-year-old one is so angry, he's ready to put his fist through the wall. The eight-year-old is not speaking, and the 5-year-old is saying, "When's Daddy coming home? When's Daddy coming home?" And she has to deal with all of that, and then each one of those children has to have their own grief experience. Mm-hmm. So when you put it in the context of a story like that, that's not an unusual circumstance for what we see today.
Yeah. You know, I almost thought you were describing Steve Jobs. You remember when he passed away? We all said, wow, so young. And you know, we saw Farrah Fawcett. We saw a lot of icons, people that we grew up with that, yes, did have cancer and something. But then there are people that pass away in a car accident,
mm-hmm.
or and it's, you know, it just, it happens, right? And so that's why we have to understand that everybody handles grief differently.
Absolutely. And that's also why we have our North Star program, which is our program for our children who are grieving. And it allows children to come together and realize they aren't alone, and they aren't the only one who lost a dad or a mom or even a sibling. And it allows them time to process that grief as well.
Yeah. And so how would you say Hospice of St. Francis differs from other hospices? There's always something that's different, right?
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's your job or your church or whatever it is, and you say, wow, we do it so differently. What would you say?
I would say the biggest thing is the way we give back to our community. The impact we leave on the community as a whole. And we provide our services with our heart and mind, and everything we do, we make sure it touches every part of our community.
Yeah. And so what areas does Hospice of St. Francis serves right now, from where to where?
Mims to Mico, the entire county. In fact, we probably have more patients currently in mid to south than we do in North County. A lot of people think we're just Titusville, but we're everywhere.
Yeah, I've been trying to break up that myth as well, because I recently met someone and he said, oh, they're only in Titusville. And I said, no, they're like all over Brevard, you know. And so I think that's why it's important when you have shows like Viewpoint with Sita and Friends and other shows. And you do have beautiful billboards as well. Yeah, that people can see where you're at. So some of, for our listeners who are tuning into Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, some of the services that Hospice of St. Francis offers, caregiver education, grief support, the North Star for Children, St. Francis Pathways Palliative Care Program, volunteer services, and veterans. Dottie, we have 2 minutes before we go on break. You want to mention anything about the veterans?
Oh, I sure do. I sure do. We are part of a partnership with the National Association of Hospice and Palliative Care Organization and the Veterans Administration. And you can achieve different levels of commitment depending on the depth of your program. We are currently a level 4 out of 5 levels because of all of the things that we're doing in concert with the veterans programs. And I could probably give you a list of things, but I would tell you that we're well on our way to level 5. And the focus of that is going to be helping people with post-traumatic stress syndrome, which is
That's one. That's amazing. You're almost up to a level 5.
Yes.
5 out of 5.
Yeah.
Wow. I love that. So we're going to take a quick station break, and then we'll come back. And one of the questions that I got a lot once I put this on Facebook this morning was, how is hospice funded? And do they take care of everyone? Or is it a religious affiliation with something? So we can address those issues. And then we'll talk a little bit more about other events coming up, Ellen.
Right. And I would encourage everyone to go to the website, hospiceofstfrancis.com. They've got a lot of great information on there. But we'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Portions of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends is sponsored by the friends and family of Sita Begee, author of 18 Brothers and Sisters, and founder of Simply Sita Skincare, and these great sponsors. Portions of Sita and Friends is brought to you by Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture Store inside the Merritt Square Mall at the Sears Wing. Save big on furniture working with a flexible family-owned store with all the brands you love, from Ashley, Serta, Coaster, Enso, and more. Brand new, warranties as well, and delivery and haul-away available at a fraction of the cost of most stores and delivered in 7 to 10 days. Free, no credit checking and financing, and free interior design. The owner, Scott Palmer, has been in the mattress and furniture business for over 30 years, and Cloud9 has been serving Central Florida for 7 years now. Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture Store, available at 321-459-2473. Again, call them 321-459-2473 or visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. When you need medical care and need it fast, MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 8 locations serving Brevard County. So if you have an emergency, need a physical, or when your doctor is unavailable, with 8 locations, MedFast offers top quality care that is close by and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. You just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MedFast, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. MedFast Urgent Care opens 7 days a week with the convenience of 8 locations serving Brevard County. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST. MedFast. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great-tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000 or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With 3 locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345, located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne. That's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here on WWBC AM 1510, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. We're having a really great conversation with Hospice of St. Francis. And in studio, we have Dottie Allen, we have Christy Rowland, and we have my friend Angie, who is here as well. She came by to observe. Angie, is it Duffy. And, of course, Ellen Little is here.
Yes.
So I wasn't making a mistake when I said Angie earlier.
No, you weren't. You were just looking at Christy when
that's
you said
right.
Angie.
That's the right. Because I'm looking at my notes.
But,
I'm
of course,
like,
on radio, they
here.
Don't know that.
No, I'm like, there is an Angie.
That's because when I'm here, I usually have Angie with me.
Yes.
Because we're joined at the hip.
Right. Well, you know what? It is wonderful to be able to have a voice in the community and be of service, whatever it is that we talk about on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. We do get a lot of feedback. And Ellen knows that I would write up a post and ask for a discussion. And boy, do I get a discussion.
Yes.
People really like the idea that I'm on air and you're with me and we're doing what we can to help. I never thought that the good Lord would send me in this direction to be able to make a difference in so many people's lives, but I feel blessed that we do.
But you found a piece of social media that's kind of an anomaly that people don't understand. If you make statements, you might get a few likes. If you ask questions and you get discussions going, much like what we were talking about before the show started, we were talking about how do people get into great debates and being able to discuss things. And even things like Hospice of St. Francis, right? How do you have the discussion with your family about your end of life? Those are hard conversations to have. But you practice, you know, you can practice on places like Facebook that you can ask a question. Like some of the questions that
yes.
you ask are not always political or not always something that
right.
rises an emotion in people. But it's truly that people do want to give their opinion. And when they start expressing themselves, they learn other things
right.
too. And they learn about other people. So it's
and
great.
And it's beautiful to be able to read and understand and able to to tolerate other people's points of views, because every single day I learn something new. Like I was saying, you know, how many families actually sit down at a dinner table or lunch table a few times a month or maybe once a week or whatever and talk about things like how to pay a mortgage, how to pay rent, how to save a 401k, how to take care of a disabled child. I mean, that's a conversation we had around our table yesterday with our son-in-law and our children. And, you know, it makes for great conversation, because what Pop and I are doing essentially is giving them our experience from life. And I know, Dottie, you could add to this, because, I mean, I think when...
I'm old.
Well, you look great. I mean, I think when you hit 50, something happens, because you reach that saging stage where you are supposed to take your life experience and help others. And we help our families first. And then we reach out to others, correct?
Yes. Yeah, that is true. And I think, you know, we need to articulate our thoughts on things in such a way that we help stimulate a discussion, because without that debate, without that healthy dialogue that goes back and forth, nobody grows. And I was saying before the show, I'm really concerned about the young generation, because if you walk into any place, everybody's on their device, nobody's talking, and they're not really sharing their diverse opinions on things in a way that's going to help them grow as individuals and then as a collective group.
And stimulate their minds, because like Ellen just said, when is a good time for families to talk about what's going to happen with grandpa and grandma at the end of life, or mom and dad, or themselves? Yeah. So Angie, maybe you could tell audience, when is a good time for people to start talking about how to get their finances in order and start thinking about when the time comes?
Today.
So no time like the present.
Correct. I mean, honestly, most people I talk with, after they've had a loss in their life, that's when they start looking at their own paperwork and details and things like that, because they're struggling through what was left for them. And it's so much easier if you have time and you can prepare and you don't have to struggle and fight with systems and all of those things if you have all that information ready to go.
And don't be afraid to ask.
Exactly.
Right, Christy?
Yes.
So, and Angie, same thing for you. I meant you earlier, too. Because you, yeah. your husband is in a church, and you have a congregation, and mm-hmm. you have people that you have to talk to as well. Are these some of the things that you all bring up as well?
Oh, definitely. It's always been, you know, when you have an older congregation, you always have the question, will you, you know, do my funeral? It's not something that we want to say, yes, you know, we can't wait. It's yes, we can, and we start preparing. But I was also thinking about when she was talking that, you know, I had the conversation with my son's school, him going up to ninth grade, that one day if we pass away, meaning mom and dad, who's going to take care of my son? He's 15 years old. It'll be his little sister. So they talked about, you know, giving power of attorney to her, and that's something hard, like, if we're going through that, you know, I heard that hospice does that, and they will help come around the family and they'll help, you know.
Yeah,
with
and
that.
You could share this information as well with the people in your church about Hospice of St. Francis, too. Mm-hmm. So, and you had a question about whether autistic kids are part of the group for Christy.
Yeah, because, you know, like my son, he'll understand but not fully understand that, you know, mommy and daddy aren't here anymore. And if, you know, if you guys have a program to surround even the disabled kids, that, you know, they will be able to, you know, go through life with that, the counseling and stuff that they'll need.
Yes, and we do. And our North Star program does accept any child that is able, that would benefit from our services. And the nice thing about the children's program is that so much of it is based in play, that even if they don't have the ability or even the understanding of what the words are they're feeling, they can draw it, they can play it, it comes out in other ways. And all we do is hold a space for them so they can be a kid again for a while and work through some of those issues through what they're doing their each group night.
Yeah, I know for a mom like Angie, that is comforting to know mm-hmm. that there's a program like that. So I know that, you know, we talked about this earlier about the difference in hospices, right? And I do feel like there's so much more to Hospice of St. Francis. And I'm going to have Dottie answer that question as well, because, you know, when I think about nowadays, we all see these slogans, put people before profits, put country before self, be patriotic. But I feel like Hospice of St. Francis does put people first. Am I correct?
Yes, you are correct. We definitely do. There's a thing that happens with not-for-profit organizations that is really unique. And a lot of people in the community don't really understand. They think that not-for-profit means you're not supposed to make a profit. And in fact, that's not true. We do want to make sure that when we're billing insurances and, you know, collecting wherever we can, or also using philanthropy donations to help with support of our programs, that we have as much going into those programs as possible. But anything that we have that's extra doesn't go into the pockets of shareholders or owners. It actually goes right back into the mission. So we've talked about programs like the North Star for Grieving Children program, the Veterans program, so many of the, I would say...
services.
Augmented services. And also in addition to that, programs like the palliative care program. We make them bigger and better because we take everything that we can and we pour it right back into the mission. That's what a not-for-profit does. So when you give a donation to a not-for-profit or when you use our services, then what you're doing is essentially making the program better for everybody else that will use it in subsequent time.
One of the questions, too, that we hear a lot is hospice Medicare certified?
Mm-hmm.
It is. So you,
yes.
Can you talk a little bit
Absolutely.
About the funding for hospice?
A lot of our funding comes through Medicare, yes. Mm-hmm. But we also accept Medicaid, private insurances, and then also if someone has the inability to pay, if there is no funding source, we will still take them. We will still provide them that same care.
That goes right along to what Dottie
Correct.
Was talking about.
No one has ever turned away because
That's
of
right.
inability to pay.
Right. Isn't that wonderful, though, that you know that you have that in the back of your head? You may have a little sticker for Hospice of St. Francis or a little magnet. But, I mean, the time is going to come. I can tell you as a nurse how many families are comforted by the fact that there are so many hospices in Brevard and in Florida, actually, and they get to choose the one that they want.
Yes.
But you have to have the information and the education to be able to make that choice. And the other question is... how often will hospice staff visit with a loved one? Does it vary by the disease or the progression? How does that?
It actually varies patient to patient by the progression. So in the beginning, when they first come into hospice, they may only want a nurse once a week. They may want a social worker once a month and the chaplain and volunteers as needed. And then as their illness progresses, it may be the nurse comes 2 times a week, 3 times a week. They're getting a home health aid now 2 and 3 times a week. And ultimately, as they are in the last days of their life, they will see our staff often and daily.
Yeah, because nobody wants to die alone.
Correct.
Right? People do want to have that comfort
mm-hmm.
With them and die with dignity and pain-free. Now, what happens when someone has pets? And we've been asked that question, you know, like every time I have... Hospice of St. Francis on the show, people will say, don't forget to ask about the pets. And I see Dottie is smiling.
I want to speak to that because I am the ultimate cat person. I mean, I know a lot of people love dogs.
Even Angie's smiling.
I am Mary cat person. We do have patients that have pets, and oftentimes the pets are old too, you know, and have been the patient and the pet have been together sometimes for 10, 15, 20 years. And so when the person gets to the point where he or she really can't care for the animal anymore, and we need to start thinking about what's going to happen. We have a program called the Pet Pledge Program, and we make a pledge to the patient and the kitty or the dog or the whatever, that we will find a forever home for that pet. What happens to the patient, patients stress about this more than they do about their illness because this is their baby. So as soon as we're able to resolve that problem, the patient can relax and concentrate on, you know, what's really facing them, because they know that their pet has been adopted by somebody else. So we work really hard to make that happen, and we've had 100% success so far.
Yeah. So let's say someone is admitted into the hospice program. How are concerns addressed, either by the family or by the patient? I'm sure they have concerns. They want to talk to someone. Is there someone that could go to the home and say, well, tell us everything you're concerned about? And then I guess you would just turn that over to the team, depending.
There is a very, very detailed admissions process. It takes, I don't know, what do you think, Christy, 4 hours maybe?
Yeah, 3 or 4 hours.
It's a long process where a very specialized nurse works with the family and the patient and asks all those questions. So it's not just a quick, we'll sign you up for the program.
Yes.
We actually go in depth, because all of those details are part of looking at this patient's situation holistically. And then that information gets passed along to the interdisciplinary team, so that when they get together every week, the whole team gets together every week and talks about every patient. So if there are issues that need to be dealt with that come from what they got on the admission process, they're all very well aware of it. So,
and we all hear about the spiritual side. You know, when someone is in that the death and dying process, spirituality plays a big role. And I do know that Hospice of St. Francis, you will have someone available on call all
Absolutely.
The time for that. And it doesn't have to be of the Christian faith. You take people of all faiths.
Correct. Just because our name is Hospice of St. Francis, it does not mean that we are only for Catholics or only for Christians. We work with all denominations, or, you know, I mean, we have people who don't believe, you know, they believe in atheism or Wiccan or whatever. It doesn't matter. We're going to provide them the same care. And if they want to speak to someone specifically regarding their faith, then we will help them find that person as well.
Right. You have a lot of social workers, and their background is quite extensive. And you have a great chaplain as well.
We have seven chaplains.
Wow. Well, there was one that used to come to our nursing home all the time, and she was absolutely wonderful. For some reason, her name is not coming to me right now. It's not Angie, I could tell you that.
Is it Rachel?
Huh?
Is it Rachel?
Yes.
Rachel Steakley.
Yes.
Yeah, she was on the show.
She was on the show, yep. Rachel Steakley. And you know, one of the nice things about Rachel, she was always so willing to learn about Hinduism, Buddhism, you know, all faiths. Because her and I talked a lot about, you know, in the Hindu faith about cremations, and, you know, we do believe in reincarnation, which so many people believe in that now too. It's amazing. So in addition to all the services that Hospice of St. Francis is providing, what else is there for us to know in the community that you all are going to be doing? There's a Lights of Love, you said?
Yes. This is our annual community memorial service. Because we offer free grief counseling to anyone in Brevard County, we recognize that so often those are very traumatic losses, and they sometimes may not get an opportunity to have a service even, because you're not expecting it, you're not prepared for it. So this year we are doing 3 services, one in Titusville, one in Rockledge, and one in West Melbourne, and those services will happen at the exact same time, where we will light oak trees with, we'll illuminate them with holiday lights, and they will come on November 14th at 6 p.m. is the start of our service, and during that service those trees will be illuminated, and those lights will stay on through the end of January. And it's
How
just
beautiful.
To help anyone in the community understand that we recognize your loss, and those people are still shining in your life.
How beautiful. Well, you know, I was talking to somebody recently, and they said, you know, a lot of people wake up every day, and they're very optimistic about life. Mm-hmm. Some people are down based on their circumstances, financial, emotional, you know, well-being, physical, whatever. Some people say, well, we're just surviving. And some says, we're living. I mean, how do you get to that point where you get everyone to actually live and not survive? It's so difficult, because as human beings, we're faced with so many stresses. We've had shows about how many people are homeless in Brevard. We've had shows about how many children don't have a warm meal when they get home at night. We've had shows about people can't afford rent. It's so high. It's so expensive. We've had shows with people, the opioid crisis, and all these things in conjunction with now you're faced with a loved one who's dying, who's leaving the planet. So, Dottie, maybe you could talk to that. I mean, it's hard for people out there when they don't have the correct support system that they need.
Well, of course, the support system is really important, but I think that attitude is something that is plays a very vital role in all of this. And I think that there are some changes that are happening that probably are going to be a good thing when it comes to the end of life. In, let's say, the 1800s, 1700s, people accepted the fact that death was a part of life. You knew that that was going to happen. You were laid out in your living room, and everybody, the relatives came, and people accepted it and dealt with it. Then we went through a whole period of time where death was almost, it was a thing no one wanted to ever talk about. And in some cultures, it was like almost an embarrassment. You know, people didn't want to have memorial services. People didn't want to deal with it at all, just make believe it didn't happen. But there is a new generation of people, the baby boomers, who are coming along. And baby boomers, and I'm one of them, we're very idealistic. We want to have it all, and we want to have it now. But we are going to plan how we die. So my husband said, okay, when I die, I want the Rolling Stones playing.
Oh, yes.
And I want to have a buffet, and I want to have all Vietnamese food because that's what I like. So he's got the whole thing all planned out of what will happen on the day that he dies. And I think that you're going to see more of that because people are beginning to turn around a little bit and say, okay, I'm going to live until I die.
So they're living. And you know what it is too? People have the celebration of life. And they're taking charge of that as well.
Yeah.
It's almost like take charge of your birthdays. You might as well take charge of that day as well. Tell them, what would you like? Well, it used to be, Angie, that the church took care of all of that.
Mm-hmm.
They would go in and have the funeral services, and then they would have a little meal or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I know in our religion, the temples did it, or we did it at home. But I like what your husband is doing, because my husband did the same thing. But I take it one step further, and I say, you know, well, cherish people while they're alive. Pick up the phone and call someone and say, hey, do you want to go out for coffee? Do you want to go out for lunch? Would you like to take a walk? Don't wait till that person has passed on from Earth, and then they ask you to come up in the front and say something. I see Angie, take it from there. I mean, you've seen that as well.
Yeah,
I mean, not you.
Christy.
Because Angie is with the church. Christy is with the Hospice of St. Francis. But Christy, you've seen that as well, where people will come up in the church, mm-hmm. and they would say, well, this person was this and that and the other. How
it
do you feel about
so
that?
It is so much easier to spend time with your loved ones when they're alive than have to deal with the regrets that you didn't get to have after they're gone.
Right. And you've seen that as well, haven't you, Angie?
Most definitely. You know, we've had older people that are passing away, and they say, well, you know, I wish they would have been here when I was alive, when I was, mm-hmm. you know, full of life. And then those doors are shut, and there's a lot of people dying and being bitter because they did not have that life with the people.
Yeah.
And so often we see people who want to hold on for that one more person to come and see them.
Yes.
And it's so important to them that they get that moment.
How do we get families to love again, to show compassion again, to forgive again? Because how many people, and we have to do a show on this one day, how many families, like 1 year goes by, a second year goes by, a third year, and they've lost contact? In today's world with social media and everything else, you cannot not reach out to each other. And I see, Dottie, you can take that for us. I mean, how do we get people to just come
back? You know, I was thinking about St. Francis. I mean, as Christy said, we're a non-sectarian organization. We think that St. Francis had the right idea, because he has a little prayer, and it starts off and it says, Lord, make me the instrument of thy peace. And then it goes down through a whole series of things. It's a really wonderful thing. You should Google it to see what it is.
I'm Catholic. That's my confirmation. Mm-hmm. I fought with the nuns.
Then there you go.
Yeah.
But what I'm thinking about is that if we could tell the audience to have each person do one thing today, reach out and talk to one person today and tell them how you feel about them.
Yeah.
If you can be the instrument and just do one, just call somebody up you haven't talked to in the past 10 years and say, gee, I miss you. Do one thing.
You might make that person's day because, mm-hmm. you know, I saw on Facebook recently where a friend of mine, a girl that I went to high school with, and this is like 40 years ago. I just gave her my age.
Oh.
she lost her son in a shooting. I mean, he was shot to death. And so I sent her a card. I sent her, instead of sending flowers, I sent a gift card, mm-hmm. to Starbucks. She lives in Alaska, Indian girl. And so she reached out to me and she said, I got your cards. And I saw she's still grieving. So I sent another card last week. It's little. It's a 50-cent card from the dollar store. But you know what? To her, it means a lot when she gets it in the mail. Mm-hmm. How she
so
feels.
I did my 5 wishes with 2 of my brothers that I haven't seen in a while. I just don't stay in contact. Not that we're angry with each other. And I told them that I wanted to be packed into fireworks, and have a fire, you know, be cremated, packed into fireworks, and have a fireworks show.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Oh my God. Don't you think that'd be great? And it was the best conversation because then it was fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then it was like the planning of all of that was like. Exciting.
Yeah, because we're all getting older. But yeah. We just want to remind our audience too that Hospice of St. Francis does, you guys do have inpatient and respite care as well.
We do.
Right? And maybe we'll talk about that next time. But what a wonderful show. I always like doing shows that makes me feel calm and understand that one day I will be leaving this planet as well. And it makes me plan and reach out to people as well. So we have a minute left. If Dottie and Christy wants to say something before we go off air really quick. The website, the date for the Legends.
Oh, Legends is October 30th at Space Coast Convention Center. I hope to see you all there. Delicious food.
And Christy.
And Lights of Love service is at 3 locations on November 14th at 6 p.m.
Right. And Angie, you want to give your website really quick or how someone can reach you to buy your products?
It's Duffy, D-U-F-F-I-E .itworks.com.
Yeah, we'll have to do a show about It Works. It sounds fun.
Yeah.
One day.
Yeah, absolutely.
What a great show. I feel like I could stay here forever because when you talk about spirituality and life and survival
and people
and how to help each other, it's not us. It's about all of us.
That's right. And just another fantastic edition of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Of course, if you'd like to be on the show, just please contact us, SitaMediaInc.com, and we'll get right back to you. But for this edition of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, we'll see you next week.
This is the Christian Voice of Brevard on WWBC 1510 AM.
And you're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, Merritt Island, FM 94.7. You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264.